It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You're listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Hello, America. Welcome to 2A Radio. This is a Second Amendment radio show. We just shore that up a little bit to 2A Radio. I am your host, Bill Carnes, and we're going to get right into it. If you've been listening to the show for any time at all, you remember that this last summer and into fall, we were all over the murder of Eric Scott. Eric Scott, a West Point graduate and just good, honest-to-God, law-abiding citizen, was shopping at a Costco in Las Vegas in the Summerlin area of town, at the Summerlin Costco, the very same Costco that I used to shop at. And when walking around in the store, he was confronted by a store employee that told him, hey, it looks like you've got a concealed handgun and your shirt rose up a little bit. I see a holster. You're not allowed to have handguns in here. And his response was, the hell I'm not. I have a concealed weapons permit. I have freedoms. I have two Supreme Court cases backing me. You can't tell me I can't have a gun in here. So, as it turns out, they called 911. 911 is for a life-threatening emergency. This guy's now to the point of a potential trespass issue, possibly. He is a member. He's allowed to be there. But he's violating an unwritten rule that is also an unposted rule. There's nothing that says you can't bring guns in here, and there was nothing in the contract he had just signed. He just joined that day. So the cops show up. I've heard the radio traffic. I played the radio traffic on this show. The cops, oh, man, it sounds like someone's getting violent with a gun and uppity with the management. Not what was going on. But that's what the person who called 911 was saying to try to get the cops there because they didn't like this guy in the store with the gun. Now, I've carried a gun in that store. I've carried a gun exposed in that store in years past. But not today, not with Eric Scott, not back in July. As it turns out, as he's walking out the store, the cops address him. They put their guns on him. He puts his hands up in the air and they shoot him dead. So, as it turns out, one of those Las Vegas cops, who was cleared in the fatal shooting outside of Costco of Eric Scott, has been charged with unlawfully giving, not selling, giving a handgun to a two-time convicted felon. Las Vegas police released a statement this last Monday saying 23-year-old officer Thomas Mendiola, was relieved of duty without pay, pending an outcome of criminal and internal proceedings. It's reported that Mendiola has February 24th, he has a court appearance on a felony furnishing a firearm to a prohibited person charge. If convicted, the maximum sentence he could potentially face would be 10 years in prison. Don't count on it. Mendiola, is accused of giving a .22 caliber Ruger handgun to a convicted thief from Arizona in exchange for work on his car last July or August. Around the same time, he was involved in shooting and killing, guess who? Eric Scott. He was probably on administrative leave with pay at the time. Mendiola was one of several officers cleared in the slaying of Eric Scott last July. One of three, actually, according to this report. So, how about that? Cop ends up in a shooting. Now, he's a rookie. Got to be a rookie. He's 23. I mean, you can't be in the academy unless you're going to graduate before your 21st birthday. So, I mean, this guy, he's young. He's real young. Now, he might not be an official rookie. Rookie status is not for a year with Las Vegas Metro. It's 18 months is considered a rookie. Of course, every new assignment, once you can move up, you're now a rookie in that group, a rookie to that squad, a rookie to that assignment. But this guy is right around rookie status. Ends up getting involved in the shooting, and it sounds like within a couple of weeks thereof, gives a handgun to a two-time convicted felon. This is a cop. When I was a Las Vegas Metro cop, yes, I was a cop for the very same department back in the mid-90s. When I was a cop, any gun dealings that I had, I made sure to have the person run before I would buy or sell a gun. As a cop, I watched my own back for that sort of thing. I wouldn't want to be involved in this. And what's this cop going to say? He's going to say, hey, I didn't know. Well, you didn't check. Well, you know, you're right. I didn't check, but I didn't know. When you're a cop, it's incumbent upon you to walk a higher road and toe the line according to the law. Way too many cops don't do that. They have a much, much lower road. As a matter of fact, some roads so low, you can't even see them from above. And to hell with the law, I am the law. I don't need to follow it, I just need to enforce it. That is the general attitude in most policing organizations in the country. In most. Not all of them. Some of them have pretty hardened sheriffs that say, look, we're going to follow the Constitution. You are not going to violate anybody's rights, because if you do, I'm going to violate your ass into the unemployment line. Well, as it turns out, this guy might just very well have that happen. If he is still a rookie, if he's been on less than 18 months, they're going to get rid of him in a heartbeat. If he's been on more than 18 months, he has civil service status. It's not going to be that easy to get rid of him unless he gets convicted. If, now, he's involved in killing a guy, walks away, well, scot-free, pardon the pun. However, he sells a gun to a two-time felon, and he is no longer scot-free. You know, I think it'd be great if the felon actually rolled over on the guy, like actively went to the cop and said, hey, you know, I fixed this guy's car and he gave me a gun. And I think he's a cop. Here's his name. Well, of course, that's kind of hosing the felon himself. So something tells me that this felon ended up in front of the cops somehow. He did something. Somehow he came into the attention of on-duty police officers. They found the gun, and through the investigation, well, I got it from this guy. Or maybe there was, in Clark County, there's handgun registration, maybe been registered to this guy, this cop, so they traced it back to him. One way or another, his ass is in deep, deep, very hot water. Good for him. Wasn't for one thing, it was for another. He shouldn't have shot Eric Scott dead. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. I wanted to give you an update on the Bill Carnes 2A Radio Precision Rifle Course coming at you April 15th, 16th, and 17th, right here outside of Las Vegas in Southern Nevada. There are only 6 spots left as of this broadcast. 6. That's it. Once those 6 are gone, that's it. It's done. Class is filled. We may look at adding another date, but right now, we only got 6 spots. And hotel rooms are going pretty quick. However, I made a call to a place and have found that there are, I think, 6 rooms left at a particular spot. I'm not going to give out the information on the place. I'm not going to tell you anything about it. If you book with this course, shoot me an email, bill@2aradio.com, and I will let you know where to find rooms. I'll let you know where to find them. There's a couple of places that are kind of, how should we say, off the grid that have rooms available. Okay. Motel rooms, condos, they're off the grid. They're not, you know, you search, hotel rooms, Pahrump, Nevada, they don't come up. They have rooms, they don't have a whole bunch of them, and they're kind of on the QT. So, if you want to get into a nice, decent motel, or an available condo, you sign up for the class, shoot me an email, again, bill@2aradio.com, and I'll get you that information. To sign up for the course and read the information about it before you sign up, go to victoryshoot.org. Again, the website is victoryshoot.org. Gives you all the information on it. I'll actually be out at the range this weekend finishing up sight-in of my buddy's 308 that we talked about on Monday and getting that thing finished up. We have it documented out to 600 yards. I will finish it up out to 1,000 yards. And provided that the bullet keeps going, I might keep backing up as far as it'll go. I believe that gun, as we chronographed it, it should go out to about 1150. Well, we're going to test that. We're going to test to see how much adjustability is in the scope and how far it'll get with the bullet. With my particular gun that I shoot, my own personal gun, the trajectory of the bullet really stops dying off at about 1150, which is the limit of the scope. If I bury the turrets on my scope all the way down to the mechanical zero, it's set up for 1150. So we'll see how it goes with my buddy's gun. We'll finish that up this weekend, and I'll let you know how it goes in case you're interested in finding out the same sort of information on your gun or learning about what you're going to learn at this class coming up in April. Okay, we're going to switch to an op-ed piece by some goofball by the name of Anthony F. Combo Piano. Combo Piano, that's his name. C-O-M-B-O-P-I-A-N-O, Combo Piano. As in like a dual piano or a combination of a piano and a harpsichord. Combo Piano, Tony Combo Piano. I'm guessing the guy's Italian. So it says, all guns should be tracked by the government. Okay, well, you know, in Sun Tzu's Art of War, they say know thy enemy. So, we need to know thy enemy. Let's actually hear what Mr. Combo Piano has to say. Our response to the Tucson massacre does not go far enough in our current technological age. People like you can breathe life into those empty epitaphs and turn memories into tangible protections under the law. To begin with, we must review our cherished Constitution and the Second Amendment dealing with the right to bear arms. We are no longer fighting Indians or the British. We do not need to belong to a militia. Now, this is, of course, all opinion. We don't need to. Second, we need gun control to stop selling weapons, particularly assault weapons, or any guns to criminals and the mentally ill. Well, that's already against the law. Americans should not be afraid of walking down a street or gathering for discussion. You're right. So if you're carrying a gun, you've got nothing to be afraid of. Finally, all guns should have a computer implanted in the cylinder so that the police will know where all guns are located. We have to have driver's licenses to operate a vehicle, and all Americans must have a Social Security number and a valid birth certificate. That's true. You don't need to have either, actually. People should join together to cut down random killing. The American Civic Association, Virginia Tech, Columbine, Tucson, and, insist on elected representatives take steps now to make America safe. So this guy is so far off of the path of actually knowing history, knowing the way humans work. He believes that taking all the guns away and the ones that are out there can be monitored real time where they are by the cops, and you must be licensed to get a gun. He believes that's the way to make America safe. Really? Well, what are the criminals going to do? Are you going to implant a computer into the cylinder? Well, okay. Just hearing that tells me that Mr. Combo Piano has never in his life held a gun. Knows nothing about guns at all. Nothing. Never fired a gun. Never had any gun training. Because not all guns have cylinders. And a computer cannot be installed on a gun. So, this tells me right here that Mr. Combo Piano is yet again another ignorant anti-gunner that's following the rhetoric of the lamestream media. The groups that get out there and say things like, oh yeah, well the government says, through falsified information that has been uncovered, and we have known that it's been uncovered for well more than 18 months, that the Mexican drug cartel violence in Mexico is actually not fueled by all the guns purchased in the United States that somehow find their way trafficked into Mexico. That's really completely false. Very, very, very few guns, a minute percentage, involved in the Mexican drug cartel wars with the Mexican authorities, ever came from any gun shop in any border state. So, even though we know that, we're still going to report the garbage. Obviously, Mr. Combo Piano is the type of guy that buys that lame garbage and doesn't really look into it. What I like to refer to that is someone who is surface knowledgeable. On the surface, they seem to be knowledgeable because they've heard some sort of news report, or maybe a couple of news reports, but they've never investigated that investigation. That is someone who has surface knowledge, never looked into it. You know, my daughter, my 20-year-old daughter and I are sitting around last night, and we're talking about the Civil War and how for many decades, since the liberals got control of the educational system, starting really back in the 60s, that the history of the Civil War has been changed. And that nowadays, they've been teaching for decades now, that the Civil War was all about slavery. When if you actually know the history, you realize that slavery had almost nothing to do with the Civil War. If it were only slavery, there wouldn't have been any secession. There wouldn't have been the Confederate States. The Confederacy had way bigger fish to fry than anything to do with slavery. Slavery was still legal. Slavery was still going on in the northern states during the war. Slavery didn't end across the country until the 13th Amendment. But going through history, they make it a race war, and they've been teaching our kids, some of you that are listening now, that the Civil War was all about fighting over slavery, which is lies and BS. So somebody spews that, they are surface knowledgeable. If you look into it, you actually have some idea of what's going on. Obviously, Mr. Combo Piano hasn't got the slightest clue about what he's talking about. So we chalk that up to yet another ignorant anti-gunner. Stay tuned, more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
All right, folks, welcome back from the break. Well, as it turns out, scumbag, idiot, goofball, billionaire, leftist, Michael Bloomberg, mayor of New York City, is committing fraud again, financial fraud against the citizens of the city of New York, and gun information fraud. Seems as though Bloomberg doesn't much care where he sends his officers, outside of their jurisdiction if it advances his anti-gun agenda. And it seems federal authorities have very little interest in slamming him for activities that would land a mere mortal in a federal penitentiary for being an accessory in a felonious act. Now, earlier in the week, New York Times reported that Bloomberg had apparently sent undercover investigators to the January 23rd Crossroads of the West gun show held in Phoenix, Arizona. Then, at a press conference, Bloomberg showed undercover videotape of three purchases reportedly made at the Crossroads of the West gun show. Among those purchases were a, quote, Glock pistol and two high-capacity magazines like the ones used in the Tucson shooting, end quote. No reference was made to the fact that the Glock model is among the world's most popular pistols, or that the magazine capacities are, they vary according to either regulation or to the user's taste. High capacity is one thing, standard capacity is another, legislatively mandated reduced capacity is yet a third. So, according to Bloomberg, investigators bought guns in private transactions despite their having alluded to their being unable to pass a background check. They didn't say it, but they're alluding. Okay? Private sales between individuals are not subject to background checks, but private sellers are not supposed to make sales to individuals who might not otherwise be able to pass background checks. That makes a seller and the purchaser guilty of a felony. Anyone party to those illegal purchases, as in the mayor who sent the undercovers with the intent to make illegal purchases, an accessory. A fact that seemed to escape the reporters in attendance. Now, keep in mind, it is kind of a faux felony. Because these investigators actually are able to pass background checks. But if you make a sale to someone who admits they might not be able to, that's a felony. However, if you're being set up, then they're lying to you, and now the onus is on them, so now they are doing entrapment, which there is yet another crime. Plus, it's across state lines. It's now a federal violation, what his investigators are doing. Now, we're not even going to really get into the entrapment discussion. The investigators were slightly out of their jurisdiction by 2,500 miles or more, and no word yet on their having checked with local authorities before staging their allegedly illicit purchases. During his photo op, Bloomberg told reporters that he and the eldest son of Martin Luther King Jr. had tried to convince President Obama to raise the issue of tighter gun controls in a State of the Union address. He didn't, and Bloomberg called that a missed opportunity. Although he said he was encouraged that some members of the president's staff assured him Mr. Obama would, quote, take the matter up separately. And we're waiting for that. Bloomberg's a determined advocate for tighter gun controls. And he's absolutely willing to do whatever he thinks is necessary, legal or illegal, to crack down on firearms ownership. And it seems he has a willing accomplice in the lamestream media. CNN's online reports highlighted that Bloomberg story with a new fact that, quote, 87% of guns seized by Mexican authorities have traced in the last 5 years originated in the U.S. Again, more bullcocky. BS, total. Sorry, CNN, it's just not true. Only a fraction of the guns seized by Mexican authorities even originated in the U.S. The majority were purchased and smuggled in from other countries or stolen from Mexican police and military bases. The majority of the guns from the United States came through the direct bargaining sales from the U.S. State Department. The drug wars aren't even being fought with semi-automatic pistols. They're being fought with military-issue full-automatic guns, grenade launchers, and the like. The small number of guns which could be traced did, in fact, originate from the United States. But, again, the majority of those being either reported stolen in secondary purchases, not purchased directly from gun dealers, and not being purchased from straw purchasers. The vast majority, again, are coming through falsified end user certificates that go through the brokered State Department deals from our country to Mexico or another country that has just as bad a corruption as Mexico, and they end up in Mexico. For all intents and purposes, most tracking of firearms end with a legitimate sale to an individual purchaser. Now, and that purchaser is subject to an NICS background check and the requisite federal form 4473, on which the purchaser states he or she understands any lies on the form or federal offenses and that they are legally entitled to purchase a firearm. From that point, the firearm is generally traced from owner to owner by old-fashioned police work. Many times, that trail goes cold with the theft report. Again, it's a case of lack of familiarity with the facts or and a complete unwillingness to change any anti-gun rhetoric. The half-truths are then quoted as irrefutable fact by scuzzball reporters who more than likely generally have absolutely zero knowledge of firearms or firearms regulations, never even held a gun or shot it. To many reporters, every gun, regardless of its capabilities, is an assault weapon, often referred to as an AK-47. Early on during the Tucson shooting where Gabby Giffords was shot, the report of an AK-47 came out. Every gun reports just defaults to an AK-47. But ignorance is absolutely no excuse for lazy reporting. Even in New York City, there are experts on firearms that can help a reporter, a producer, or associate producer do some basic fact checking. You know what drives me nuts? Is everybody's now calling it in the media a magazine clip, an ammunition magazine clip. What is a magazine clip? That is like a car truck. The only car trucks I know about are the El Rancho or the El Camino. I'm sorry, the Ranchero. The Ford Ranchero or the Chevy El Camino. That's the only car truck I know of. A magazine clip? A magazine is one device. A clip is a completely different device. They serve relatively similar functions, but they are two completely different items that don't work back and forth between guns. Of course, CNN is not alone in their intellectual laziness. Virtually all of the lamestream media has accepted Bloomberg's half-truths with absolutely no question. Maybe that's why the lamestream media is no longer the public's primary source for news and unbiased information. Maybe that is the same reason why when reports from Reuters and the AP and other organizations like this that end up in the hands of the newspapers are going bankrupt because news is much more readily available, more real-time available through electronic means, and there's a lot of varying opinions that you can get. Rather than paying 50 cents for a newspaper, you should probably spend 50 cents on a roll of toilet paper that will do you a whole lot more honest-to-goodness work. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back on! I know that you are wrong if this is not
Welcome back from the break. Now, considering all of this garbage that Bloomberg and his cronies have been up to in New York City, Arizona Governor Jan Brewer and Arizona Attorney General Tom Horn, both Republicans, are none too pleased with the New York City Mayor Bloomberg scumbag's decision to send undercover officers to a gun show in their state. Brewer, in a Facebook post just earlier this week, lashed out at Bloomberg and said, quote, "From what I've read about New York City, I think their taxpayers would appreciate Mayor Bloomberg more if he spent their money and used his time and energy focusing on his city and their immediate issues." Well, the post included a link from a June 30th, 2010 New York Daily News article about violent crime rates increasing in neighborhoods throughout the city. Brewer later reiterated that sentiment in an interview with her best friend and Fox News anchor Greta Van Susteren. She's not actually an anchor, I guess. She said that she finds it interesting, as she said, that Bloomberg is out here in Arizona solving our problems. She says he believes he solved all of the problems in New York, she said. Brewer says, also noting that in the interview that in Arizona is a big Second Amendment state and that she supports our laws in Arizona, as she says, but they need to be consistently enforced. Bloomberg on Monday publicly released details of this undercover sting we talked about, investigating, in which he sent investigators to a gun show in Phoenix on January 23rd, just 2 weeks after the Tucson shooting that killed six, gravely wounded the U.S. Representative Gabby Giffords, and 13 others. The investigators hired by Bloomberg were able to buy semi-automatic pistols despite saying they probably couldn't pass a background check. Probably couldn't. Well, and they were lying. Okay. Horn, called the move, the Attorney General of Arizona, called the move a publicity stunt and said he was angry that Bloomberg's office failed to give Arizona police advance notice of their plan as is standard professional courtesy. Quote, "The fact that no such notification was made indicates this so-called sting is nothing less than a public relations stunt." Now, Bloomberg has authorized similar stings around the country as part of a push for tougher federal laws to help keep guns off the streets of New York. Now, here's what I would like to add to this. My add to this is if Bloomberg in any way violated any law in the state of Arizona, any state law whatsoever, an arrest warrant should be submitted for him and anybody else involved, even the investigator, if, in fact, they broke any laws. Could you imagine if Bloomberg had a warrant for his arrest in the state of Nevada? I'm sorry, in the state of Arizona? How awesome would that be? Because then they could get a hold of the people in New York City and say to the police there, hey, you know, you have someone in New York City that we have an arrest warrant for, and we are willing to extradite. So next time any of your officers run across this person by the name of Michael Bloomberg, if you please take him into custody, because we will pay for extradition. Well, of course, who is Bloomberg's security force? It's NYCPD. So that would put them into a pickle. I love it. They should do that. Jan Brewer and the Attorney General Horn should really look into if any laws were broken that they could charge Bloomberg with. He's been doing this in different states all over the union. And I want to know where the money's coming from. I would imagine the money's coming from the city public coffers because he's using that as his stance. Maybe it's coming from the fund from the MAG campaign he put together, Mayors Against Illegal Guns. It might be coming out of his own incredibly deep billionaire-esque pockets. I don't know. But the question is if he's sending anybody from New York who is an actual New Yorker who happens to actually work for the city, maybe even be a cop, and it's being paid for from public funds, there's some serious fraud issues going on there. Misappropriation, fraud, waste, and abuse. Moving on. There's a Senate bill which would be a permission slip from feds to own guns. Now, it's not even been a month since Senator Boxer announced that she plans to attack the freedoms of law-abiding American citizens by introducing legislation that would make it illegal to bear arms without a special permission slip from the federal government. Now, what part of shall not be infringed doesn't she understand? I mean, what part of keep and bear arms is unintelligible? The Second Amendment doesn't say anything about requiring a special piece of paper wrapped in plastic. The Second Amendment is the permit to carry a gun, period. Read the decisions in both the Heller case and the McDonald case. Now, the dirtbag terrorist who attacked innocent victims in Arizona last month, Jason Luffner, broke the law when he filled out his background check form with lies stating he'd never used any illegal drugs. He broke the law when he used the illegal drugs in the first place. He obviously broke the law when he started shooting innocent people. Having one more broken law in the books would not have stopped him any more than what the existing draconian gun laws in New York City have done for their skyrocketing violent crime rate. The only thing that can stop an armed terrorist dirtbag is an armed potential victim. I say the potential victim because an armed potential victim has the potential of defending themselves, quite the opposite of an unarmed, defenseless victim. Infringing on the right of law-abiding citizens with new pointless laws in the hope of stopping crazy people from doing crazy things is wishful thinking at best and complete idiocy at worst. I would imagine it's most likely the latter of the two. Boxer is a complete idiot. So do you really think, again, here's the taste test on this, guys. Back the train up 2 years. If this law was on the books, would Luffner have not shot up all of the victims in Tucson? The answer is no. The answer is a resounding no to every single piece of anti-gun legislation that has been introduced in the wake of the Tucson shooting. Thank God that the Republicans took the House back over and the Senate no longer has a basically steamrolling majority in the Senate. Because had this Tucson shooting happened a year before, all the anti-gun measures that could possibly be passed would have been passed in the last Congress and signed by the president and enforced by Eric Holder. That's right, the anti-gun attorney general of the United States. And, of course, like that law and the laws dealing with magazine bans, that magazine ban, well, that exceeds the power of Congress just like Obamacare does. Keep in mind, guys, Obamacare is trying to slate that they have the interstate commerce clause out of the Constitution for authority. The federal government has the ability to regulate interstate commerce, but not mandate interstate commerce. Federal budget judges in both Virginia and Florida have recently ruled that the individual mandate of every American to buy health insurance was void because Congress exceeded the bounds of its authority in passing Obamacare with the individual mandate. And these rulings are consistent with the longstanding principles that Congress's power is limited to those specific congressional powers enumerated in the Constitution and that all other powers are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Okay? If Congress lacks the power as well to ban gun carry at schools, could it ban the carry of guns made after a certain date at schools? That would appear to be the clever logic implied behind H.R. 308, appropriately named 308, great caliber, introduced by Representative Carolyn McCarthy, Democrat out of New York. The one issue representative. All her issues are about anti-gun. Most new handguns sold in the U.S. are semi-automatic pistols designed to accept magazines holding maybe a dozen rounds or more. McCarthy's H.R. 308 would ban the carry of any pre-H.R. 308 magazines holding more than just 10 rounds. The act also makes the magazines non-transferable, and so it would also be a federal crime for Americans to carry pre-H.R. 308 normal capacity magazines if they did not also possess them prior to the enactment of the bill. The constitutional time-shifting doctrine thus implied by McCarthy's magazine ban is that the power of Congress has to ban the possession of any item is unlimited if the item is possessed in the future by any person not previously in possession of the item. She must be smoking crack along with the rest of the lefties.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2WayRadio.com.